This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. All right, so for the people that are listening now, it might be a thing as I might have put things together as far as the audio, and it'll be a weird like stop, like, okay, why are you talking right now? But I'm just letting people know this is another session that we're into. But one of my players had a question, and I thought I would answer it kind of in the middle of this tense moment of Soot and Black Claws and Jorfin and Altair kind of running away from danger, because he brought up John Haremza brought up a great question. So I will let him ask it, and then I will meddle with some answers. So go ahead.
Okay. We're going to do this meta? Like, I'm just literally going to ask you a question?
I mean, come on. What are we here for? We always do things, you know, however we want. So if you want to do it meta, let's do a meta.
All right. So the question being is insofar as Black Claws was marked when he was chosen by Cthulhu with this pattern of stars, and the stars in a formation that would indicate that, you know, the time for Cthulhu to awaken. So because one or more of the stars has activated or you know, disappeared from the pattern, is my working assumption, right, that Cthulhu is awakening or stirring, or that the, you know, the stars are coming into their proper alignment for him to be, not that he would, again, like how he wakes up, I don't know, right? Like if it's a ritual that he needs to be summoned, or it's like the stars align and it's like an alarm clock and he just like stretches and like crushes some, like, you know, fucking parrotfish that's like shooting water at him or whatever to wake him up. And he's like, oh, I'm awake now. And I'm going to go like drive the world insane and eat a bunch of people. Right.
Okay. So I'm going to say that Black Claws is kind of pondering this as they're running away. He's got all this information overload kind of in his head and stuff like that. So I would love for you to roll with advantage insight. Is that what I'm thinking?
History, religion. I mean, insight is more of another person, but like you could twist that to be like your own kind of like, what am I sussing out from?
I will let you decide if you want it to be insight or history, just because it can be both.
I have zero in both of those.
Really, okay, just, so we make it's a toss deception up.
Do you have a thing left over? A bardic, whatever the fuck it's called?
I think I use it because it's not on my sheet anymore.
Okay.
I think we used it last time. All right, well, here goes nothing. High is a 13.
Okay.
We are only level 4, so I'm just going to throw that out there. To...
Boy, you think that's going to help you? It's not. So I will let you piece some things together. So you're thinking about all that's kind of happened, and you know, you're kind of running with everyone, and you're looking at everyone, you're looking at Soot, you're looking at Jorfin, you're looking at Altair, and you're just kind of thinking of things. You're thinking about what Jorfin talked to you about, reading some of the books that he read and some of what's happening. You've kind of go through what has happened to you to this point, how you did a ritual, you've done a ritual yourself, it exploded the tower, it made this tower look like something out of a dream. You think about the fact that there was this ritual happening and this unwilling participant in Soot was sacrificed, I'm doing quotation, sacrificed on this altar, basically. And you think about the fact that Jorfin was telling you about the one of the books that had said that for the Great Old One to come into existence, there was supposed to be a ritual. There was supposed to be a sacrifice of someone that was unwilling. And you think about, you know, your stars being a certain way and other people's stars being another way. You think about the fact that your stars are a light and trying to think. Soot, did you have one of your stars a light at one point?
I believe it either, I don't remember it going out, but it was only one, I believe. I think it might be still lit.
Okay. And you see that the stars on yours and Black Claws's and Soot's bodies have come alight, and Jorfin's, who is part of the yellow
stars, the wrong gang,
hasn't had anything like that happen. It comes into your head, and everything starts to kind of puzzle itself together, and you're thinking, oh, something is happening, and the people that you have come in contact with, you, Soot, possibly others, might have set something in motion.
Okay, but we don't. So then, more than likely, it's a summoning of Cthulhu, since Jorfin's stars, to the best of my knowledge, haven't changed in any way other than him being marked.
That's what you can assume so far.
Okay. And just to reiterate, I probably asked like six times already, the King in Yellow is nominally working for Cthulhu, but also like doing his own thing. Like I think we sussed out something to that effect. I should probably just look at last week's notes.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I will tell you that from what you've heard so far, the Yellow King normally works under Cthulhu, but one of the books that Jorfin was telling you about, he is trying to be the trickster. He's trying to be the deceiver and trying to take Cthulhu's ritual and make it his own so he can come into power.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to steal his followers, take over the world. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That old chestnut.
And I think that I've talked to him before in my dreams. Again, as far as I know.
Yes. Yeah, you thought it was Mr. Beguiler.
Mr. Doctor.
But again, he was mired under a cloak or a hood, and you don't know for sure, because number one, you never physically, as far as you know, talk to Mr. Beguiler, and as far as you know, you don't know the Yellow King personally. You haven't hung out, so
No beer, so I haven't seen the play yet.
No, yeah, it's true.
I forgot my mask. Okay, so we don't really know. So we know that Mr. Dr. Beguiler,
thank you,
attempted to overthrow, assert his power over our you know, seven kingdoms here, and was driven off into the wastes of Ugad, and no one's seen him since in the last 30 years. But we don't really know what his play is, other than power, right? I mean, he literally tried to overthrow the king before. So, like, he's a dickhead who wants to rule, you know, some kind of weird dictatorship, whatever. I was going to go into a political thing. I'm going to pass. Just cut all this out. But we don't really know where his loyalties lie, presumably only unto himself.
You are correct in all those assumptions so far.
You know what happens when I assume it makes an ass out of Soot.
And I end up stabbing myself and becoming the innocent who needs to be sacrificed.
And the funny thing about it is I will probably be doing this from now on, even if you're right or if you're wrong, because I just like all the questions that arise when there's that mucky, like, will it, won't it?
Well, yeah, and we wouldn't know. We don't know until a thing happens, right? I mean, it is kind of what it is. Okay, yeah. So this is all going on in my head. Maybe I'm having this conversation with Artux, and not you. You're my Artux, so we're kind of like hashing this all out while we're running.
Very anime. I love it.
My arms are back.
Yeah. All those lines are gonna
my cheeks are all red.
Yeah. There's clearly a lot of noise going on, but you can talk at normal volume and hear every word.
Yeah. And as he looks to every single person, he's like, huh?
I dig it.
Okay. Boy, now where do we go?
Do we want to fast forward to Triplid?
No. We don't ever fast forward. If anything, we go in reverse and we slog it out as much as possible.
We're going to flash back to 10 minutes ago when Saren was blasted and on the ground.
Yeah, you guys are running and you find yourselves out of the, what did I call it? Caves? No, not caves.
The tunnels underneath.
Tunnels. Thank you. Yeah. And you find yourself above ground. You guys were still in Citruck?
We are wherever the wizard school is.
Yes, Jesus Christ. I made up this whole thing and I fucking can't remember any of it. Here, let me go back to my map.
We are in
Citruck. Yep. I was correct. Yep. Yay, I did it. I did it on accident, but I did it. Okay. So you realize you are still in Citruck. It is very late because you met at midnight. So I'll just say let's say it's like 2 a.m. now. Mm-hmm. You are all pretty weary from the night's events.
We had a nap.
Mm-hmm. while we're running.
Yeah. No, we had a nap before we went over. Because we went to the inn and we both slept because we knew we were going to meet at midnight.
Oh, that's true. So you had a short rest.
We did. Well, we did that, but then we had the bat. That was before the battle, though.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like we haven't been up for like 2 days. We at least slept for a couple hours.
Yep. So it's up to you if you decide you want to keep trekking. Triplid is south of Citruck. It'll probably, from where you're at, you probably surmise it'll probably take you about, let's say it'll take you probably about 5-6 hours to probably get to Triplid by sunrise.
Are we away from the school?
Yeah, you're a good ways away, not enough to be like, we're just going to lay here and take a nice little rest. You know, you'd probably have to trek your way somewhere to find good shade and be kind of away from it all. And again, you've come out of a place where they could be following you. You don't know for sure because you guys just hightailed it out of there. So you don't know if they're going to come for you, reconvene and try to figure out what to do.
Yeah. So I guess we kind of like slow down, right? From like a, full out, like fucking run, blasting out of here. Blast them off again. Black Claws just says, Jorfin, is there a safe place where we can hide around here? We probably don't want to tarry, but it has been a very long day for you.
Yeah, and he's like, you can tell between the mental anguish and the exhaustion on his body, he's just very off. He's just like, give me a minute. He's just like you can tell, like there's just a lot jumbled in his head and he's just having a tough time trying to kind of focus on kind of what's going on. And he's like, give me a minute. And Altair actually speaks up and he's like, you could actually, if you want to, we could go a couple hours like west actually, and my mom lives over there. We could stay with my mother. I don't think they'd be looking for us there.
Do you both feel up to the journey? Soot and I both had a brief respite before this evening's activities.
Altair is like, I'm fine, and he kind of like shakes his head. He's just kind of like, this is all heavy, man. This is heavy. I thought she was our friend. And, you look at Jorfin and he's got like his head down. He just keeps shaking it. Like he's trying to still process what's happening. He just still can't believe it or whatever, And he, you know, he keeps his head down. He's like, yeah, yep, that's fine. I need to get away. That's fine. I can do that.
I put a paw on his shoulder and I say, don't blame her. Don't blame yourself. The Yellow King, all of these entities have powers that are the dwarf our own. She was probably swayed and not making decisions that she would have made if not under duress.
And he just keeps shaking his head. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think anymore. And he just like turns and just starts walking west.
That's the wrong direction.
Oh, is that, are you guys going to his mom's place? Or are you going to
that's the direction of your mom's place. Oh, I thought we were continuing. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Altair, is your mother's house on the way to Treplid? Is it sort of in the same direction?
He's like, well, it's kind of a longer trek to get to Treplid from my mom's house, but like I feel like with the king possibly being on your heels and stuff like that, I don't. What would he say? Well, he does. They don't really. They might not know where you're going either. So he's like, well, I guess I could see, you know, if you don't want to, but you know, just getting to Treplid, that's kind of a trek, you know. I mean, I suppose there might be something outside of town that you could stay in, you know. Granted, you know, they're not working for the king, or like, you know, might give you up, I guess.
But here's the thing. Saren was part of the group and she knows you. So I would expect that any of our close associates or your close associates is, I'm not anyone. It's fine. That would be under surveillance. It may be the first place they go to.
And he, like, something clicks and he's like, do you think my mom's in danger?
Yes.
And I just, like, turn and look at you like, what the fuck?
At the very least, in danger of being surveilled, if they are looking for you, which they probably will be now.
And Altair turns and books it.
Oh, so just watch them go by. Like, oh, there he goes. Jorfin, should we beat feet?
Jorfin kind of like looks in his direction, looks at the ground and kind of shakes his head, looks at his direction again.
Well, Blacklaws, seems the wrong stars don't seem to have a good handle on the situation here, you know? I mean, we should probably, I mean, you know Jorfin. I mean, I imagine he either needs to get on board or...
Jorfin yells at Altair and says, meet us at our mutual friends! And they, like, he literally just lets him go.
Is he going to be okay? If they pick him up, it won't be good for anyone.
And Jorfin kind of shakes his head. He's like, you'd be surprised. Altair is pretty resourceful. They're not going to stay there. He's going to move her. His family is part of a group of gypsies. They move all the time.
Well, what about you? What about your family?
And he kind of like looks to Black Claws like, you didn't tell him. And he looks to Soot and he says, I have no family.
Ah, so they were your family then. Altair, yes. And Saren and the other one.
Yes, that is why I am so distraught.
That is tough. That is right. Well, as tough as it is, I think that probably puts a little bit more of a emphasis on making the correct move here. So if Altair is now gone, they were going to move his mother. They'll be moving on their way. What do you say about getting to your mutual friend's place then?
And he like does this like really big sigh, like he's like, and then he lifts his head up and he like steals himself and he says, I think I'm ready.
Ah,
then let us be off.
Yeah, so you guys trek through the morning, the early, early morning.
I run up like the side of a tree and then jump down and like run over the side of like a building and then like kick off. And then just like you hear my feet scrambling on the ground. But then I turn around and run back again.
You're just parkatting all over the place. Such a scamp.
So are you guys going to take any breaks? Are you just gonna just do as much as you can? As it, you know, like I said, it's gonna take about 6 hours to get there.
So me personally, like meta, when we go hiking, like in the mountains, we could do about 2.5 miles an hour. So 6 hours, that's a lot of miles.
It is. It is, especially the fact that even though you guys have had a short rest, it is still 2 in the morning, you know?
Yeah. And if this is like mostly flat, then it's even longer, like longer than that then, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think, General? We would, you know, like alternate between walking and like jogging.
Yeah, walking like, and speed walking.
Yeah, for a while and then take a break, right? Like.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, especially like do we want to be walk? Yeah, do we want to be traveling openly in the light, you know?
Probably not, right? Yeah.
So probably go as hard as we can until daybreak and then find a way to kind of just chill after that.
Okay. Yeah, so I would like you both to roll me a
con save.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right. I mean, that would be like an endurance.
That's thing. The exhaust. Yeah, I think that's the exhaustion thing. Right.
You know? Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just a regular roll.
On save.
Unless you have a benefit.
Yeah. Plus.
Oh. 11 total for me.
10 for Soot.
All right. So you guys are making it okay. You know, you're not exhausted, but you're definitely not in good shape. You're kind of like. In the middle of the road, kind of like, okay, we can do this, but you can tell that it's gonna be hard.
We're grinding.
It might be a little, it might be a little bit easier if you go around the base of the mountain. Because just to remind people, every city at 6 points, is that what I called it? 6 points?
6 or 7 points?
It's 6 for sure. 6 points. Okay, sorry. Every city comes together, there's a big mountain that ranges up really high. And so you could either go towards the base of the mountain, which it will actually make it a lot easier for you to make it from point A to point B, but maybe make it easier for people to see you. Or you could go around the mountain, which would make it a little bit harder, but maybe if, you know, trouble comes along, you guys can hide or make camp eventually when you guys have to sleep. Keeping that in mind, Jorfinn is like starting to wobble. He's like he walks and he starts to wobble to the right. He starts to walk a little bit. He starts to wobble to the left. He you know, you like say Jorfinn, he just starts to blink really hard. And he's like, no, I got this. And then as soon as he turns his head again, he starts to blink and kind of fall forward a little bit. And he's having a rough go at it.
So I think I say to Soot, we need to find a place where we can hold up. He's not going to make it.
Right. Well, then let's stop. Then we'll stop. And where are we? Where are we even? I'm out of my element here.
So how far have we gone? Like, what sense do we get of like the time? Like, is the sky pinkening? Does it still feel like it's a middle? Like, what's our situation?
Yeah. I want one of you to just roll a D6 for me, and I want you to take away one from that number.
You want to roll, John?
Sure. I'll roll one of my D6s from East Coast, West Coast, East West Resin. What is it?
Midwest Resin.
Midwest Geek. Resins. Geek. I do so love the dice. Well, then I got what I got when I got them.
Yep. I'm using my dice as well, and I love them as well.
5 minus 1 equals 4.
Okay. Yeah. You only have a couple hours before you make it into Treplin.
All right. Are we? Is,
so,
are we
so on? Let's, So it's like 6 in the morning ish. So it's actually starting to, the sun is starting to crest.
Is there anything here, or should we just try to like set up a camp?
Roll me a perception check.
Ooh. God. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I think that's a dirty 20.
3, 4, 5. I know nothing of the area where you're at.
Yep. I got a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Okay. You see a small shack up in, or out in the distance, just in the base of the mountain. There is smoke coming out of the chimney.
I pause and I point and I say there's a shack in the distance. Perhaps they will let us rest if it's a simple woodsman.
Mm. Yes.
Persuasive, Soot.
Maybe
able to charm the pants off of them.
Well, I would prefer they keep their pants on. Is there anything about the area that we're in that I might know of? Like, does it look like it's like a woodsman's cavern or cabin? Or is
it definitely looks like if someone has to be there, they kind of have to know what they're doing as far as getting firewood and, you know, keeping their place safe from the elements. Also, from what you've heard, as far as the mountain, which has never been named, they just call it the mountain. To be on the mountain or around the mountain invites a lot of danger. Luckily, you guys have not seen anything.
All right, then I think what I'll do is I'll switch over to, I'm gonna change forms into like a regular, like a human, like a traveler human. I'll just change forms into that. So I'll have like a pack on. I'll look all dirty and crap. Like I've just been roughing it on the trail, and I'm gonna kind of walk up to the cabin. I'll approach the cabin.
Oh, okay.
Are we all going up together?
Why don't we see if I can? Maybe I'll go up alone, and you stay back, and I'll see if I can't negotiate for the three of us. Maybe he won't feel, or the whoever is in there won't feel as threatened by three people rather than just one sorry looking tired person that I do look like now. Actually, do I need to do some rolls for you to change forms, or am I?
I thought you came out.
Yeah,
I'm all done with that.
You're,
shit. Okay.
Yeah, you're all done with the skin peeling and.
All right.
We do have coin. I mean, just.
Oh yes, I jingle my heavy coin pack. Yeah.
We would be able to pay.
Yes. I will. I will succeed in charming him and pay him as I am known wanted to do.
Just don't steal anything.
Well,
at least not until we leave.
As you're having this conversation, Jorfinn is like slumped against a tree, like falling asleep.
Yeah, he's a tired little boy. All right,
so we should probably tie him to the tree.
We should maybe tie him to the tree, and I should shoot him in the head and just end this now, right? Isn't that also part of our thing? All right, let me see if I can get some accommodation out of whomever is in this cabin. And I go off, and as I'm walking up, I try to like affect like a little limp, or like a little, like I'm, you know, favoring one leg over the other. It's been a long hike. Oh, I'll walk up and rap a tat tat on the door.
Before you do that, I would like to roll me a perception check, please.
I'll do it. I'm rolling great tonight, too. That's good. I'm just going to keep it going. 2 + 2 = 4. That D20 is going to go over there for a little while. Put that one in timeout.
So, yeah. So, you start heading for the door, and everything looks great. There's, like, you know, again, it's, like, light out and nice little place, whatever, and you're walking by, and you're like, oh, this will be nice to stay at. And you trip your foot over a piece of rope.
I do.
And that rope takes a hold of your foot, and you are hauled up into a nearby tree.
Oh, I'm hung. You've got me. You got me. Hello. Hello. just swaying back and forth from whatever rope this is.
And as you're, are you screaming it? Or are you just talking normally?
I'm talking louder than normal, trying to get whoever's attention in the cabin. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming I'm close enough to be able to do it without screaming.
And you hear like a little bell in the background, like ding a ding a ding a ding ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding, and nothing happens.
All right,
you're just
waiting.
I wait
a little bit to see if anybody comes, and if no one still comes out, then I just try to cut myself down. Like, well, okay, screw this then, and I try to cut myself down.
Okay, you are 8 feet in the air. Warn you.
Okay. Thank you for the warning. I will execute a perfect double backflip dismount with my acrobatics and land and just stick the landing.
All right.
Am I within 30 feet?
I'm so confident this is going to work.
Are you within 30 feet?
What do I have?
Sure.
I've got Featherfall too, so I would certainly be using Featherfall if I needed to.
Well, while you're swinging, you just hear
he's like shaking your head like fucking soot.
Do you want me to, should I come and catch you? Do you want me to climb up and lower you down?
Probably I would use my message cantrip back at you and I'll just say, well, I was hoping to try and like talk to whomever set this trap and, you know, start fresh, but apparently no one's coming out, so I'm just going to try again. I'll cut myself down and no, I've got Featherfall, it's fine.
Okay,
just stay back, and I'll be honest about what our situation, that we're traveling through the woods and need a place to rest, and then I'll jingle some coin, and then we'll see. I was trying to go with the non-threatening angle, but now I'm feeling threatened myself. So,
well, if you're gonna do it now, because if you hang too long, the blood gets to your head, it could cause all kinds of problems.
I'm definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
So I get my dagger, I put myself up, and just start cutting the rope.
Okay. Yeah. Roll me dexterity or what skill were you gonna use?
Well, I'm just using the dagger to cut the rope, and then that was just I have Featherfall that I can cast as a reaction once it goes, so I'll just be able to land normally.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. However you want to do that. Yeah. The rope isn't made out of anything anything ridiculous, so I won't have you roll for it. And if you use Featherfall, then
So I cut the rope. I'll blast off my another spell. I badly need to rest for spells too. Featherfall. Okay. So I cut the rope and I very gently float down to the earth and alight upon the ground.
Nice. Yeah.
And just straighten out my clothes. Let's try this again. Start walking up to the cabin.
All right.
I'm walking up to the cabin. I'm approaching your home. I got my hands out like non-threatening.
Okay.
I'm saying it as if someone's listening, but I'm trying to say I have two friends. We are very weary, tired of traveling from Citruck, looking for a short respite to refresh our minds, bodies, and souls. And I'll just keep walking up.
All right. Yeah. Nothing happens. You get to the door. There's a window out in front and you can't quite see inside to see who's in there. But nobody says anything. You don't set off any more traps.
I knock really, really loud. Hello. And I start like yelling because someone has to have heard me. If not, I'm going to change tactics real quick.
Okay. Yeah. So you knock as loud as you can or whatever. And then you hear the tiniest of voices in the background, and you hear someone go, you hear someone say, hello. And then you hear like the tiniest of feet. And then you hear a bunch of like locks unlock. So it's like click, clock, click, kind of thing. And the door swings open and you see this very old, very decrepit halfling woman. And she says, oh, hello.
Hello. What is your name?
My name is Genevieve. What is yours?
Genevieve. Oh, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Paul. Paul. My name is Paul.
Your name is Paul?
Paul. Yes, that is my name. It's very nice to meet you. I'm like trying to look as non-threatening as possible. I'm just like, I don't know if you heard me, but Me and my friends are very weary from our traveling from Citruck, and we really could use a place to just rest our bodies. We are willing to pay coin if you would be so kind.
And she, like, thinks about it a little bit, and then she, like, listens, and she's like, oh, the bell has gone off. Oh, no.
No, that was me. I tripped your trap.
Oh, you got caught in my trap.
I did, but I was able to get out. I could show you a better way to set a trap like that, if that would help you.
It's okay. It's not for people. It's for the coyotes and the bears.
Oh, well, then I would be happy to reset it for you if that was the case, because I did ruin your bear trap.
I'm sorry. Are you hurt?
No, I'm fine. But I have a friend who's very, very tired and doesn't feeling very well. And that is the reason why I've come to you in this way. Just please, we are just looking for a place to rest for a while.
You have no home to stay? You have no inn to go to? You want to stay at my place?
Yes. Yeah, we are on a hike from Citruck to Levstavda. And this is on the way, and we'd be much obliged if you would let us just rest our weary bones.
You hear in your head, ask if there's a barn. We could always stay in the barn.
A barn? A barn, I'm hearing, would be fine as well.
You live in a barn? Is that what you say? You live in a barn?
Yes, sometimes we do live in barns.
But I thought, okay, why don't you sleep in that? Why do you have to sleep here? You can sleep here if you like. You seem very weary.
Yes, as I've said, we are quite weary. But no, our barn is quite a long way from here. So no, that is not an option. I don't see a barn that you have.
No, I just have this little humble abode. It's just me and Joffrey.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe you want to check with Joffrey. We're not trying to, we don't want to make any trouble. Just looking for a place to rest.
I am expecting Joffrey back anytime. He's been gone for a while now.
Oh, right. Okay. And who is Joffrey then?
He is my son.
He's your son. Okay.
Yeah, left about 3 years ago. He hasn't been back in a while, but I feel he'll be back soon.
Okay. Do we know? This is nothing we're supposed to know, right? There's no we don't have a Joffrey in our past, do we?
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. There's one that wants to murder you, and he will soon.
Perfect.
No.
Great.
There's nobody in your past.
We'll lie in wait for him. Oh, but we won't be any trouble. And I'll message to Blackwell. Say, why don't you guys start coming up? Just start working your way up. I think we're gonna be okay. I can perform repairs for you, or I can reset your bear trap, anything at all, just for a rest for a little while, please.
I have one arm around him, like he's leaning on me, like I'm half dragging Jorfin, and we come, very slowly out of the tree line or whatever.
Yeah.
They're coming out of the tree line now. Very, very unthreatening.
And she sees Jorfin or whatever. She's like, oh, is he ill? I'm very old. I cannot get ill. So if he has an illness, I cannot be around him.
Not an illness. So kind of like stammers like, not an illness. He's not sick.
Does he have RSV? I can't get that. I'm over a certain age.
I don't think so. I think it's just very, very tired. That's all there is to it. Very, very tired.
Okay, well, I suppose Joffrey hasn't been here for a bit, so maybe you guys could do some chores for me once you wake up.
We would love to.
I haven't been to town lately to get much food and our blankets are lacking, so if you could. And she like kind of holds out her hand like very sheepishly.
Of course, absolutely. And I say once we have rested, we can do whatever you like. Oh, I'm sorry. You said she's holding out her hand?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so I slapped 5 gold in her hand.
Nice. And she's like, all right, because you like slapped in her hand like you guys are doing.
All right.
It is a gentleman's agreement.
No. And, you know, so yeah, she, you put the gold in her hand. She's like, well, this is more than I expected. Thank you very much. My, and she like starts to stammer a little bit. She's like, oh, I am so sorry. I can't be on my feet too long, but
well, let's get you in here. I started walking her into her house. Like, let's get you back to sit down and maybe you could just show us where we can put our friend so we can rest.
Oh, thank you. She says, this way. And she leads you, or actually she has you lead her upstairs. Yeah. And there is one bedroom upstairs. And you just immediately assume it's not hers because it seems like it is a young man's bedroom. It has one bed, kind of like a boy. I don't know about D&D stuff, so like kind of like a couch and a floor. So you know, take for you know where everyone's gonna rest, kind of thing. She's like, it's not much, but. Jeffrey sure seemed to like it before he left, so
it's going to be more. It's more than enough. It's more than adequate. Thank you very much, dear.
Of course. Oh, I'm sorry. I've become very tired myself. Could you help me back down and just downstairs to my quarters, please, so I could maybe take a nap?
Of course. So I'll start to do that, and also I'll start to like look around, and then. Also see if, just because I'm helping her, if I can tell if she actually does need the help or if she's, you know. But I also, like, hey, Black Claws, it's up. Just bring Jorfin upstairs. Upstairs to the right. Throw him in the bed in there. Yes. Let me help you get you back to your place of rest, of course.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me a perception check.
I would love to roll a perception.
God. Continues. 8 total.
Okay. Yeah, from what you can tell, she's just an old lady and she just it's hard for her to get to point A to point B. You look at the accommodations, they actually look modest for, you know, an old lady and whoever her son is. Yeah. But you can tell things are missing. It's like not enough food. Things have been kind of unkept, like poorly unkept. And she's just doing the best she can.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get you seated here, resting yourself. And then my friends will head upstairs and get some rest. And I'll stake the place out. I mean, I'll take the first watch, I guess.
She's like, oh, thank you so much. And she leads you into this, her quarters or whatever. And it's got a beautiful big bed, a nice little nightstand. A chest across from her bed and a couple of mirrors and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. Sometimes I get these spells and I just need to sleep them off.
I completely understand.
She says,
I tuck her in.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you're wonderful. If you could, I would just like it if you reset my bear trap and she's kind of like starting to fall asleep and she's like, and if you could just sweep the floors and if you could just put away the dishes and if you could just pick up my books and put them back where they belong. And if you could just put my clothes back in the hamper. And she's like, literally like falling asleep, but just keeps rambling on things you could do. Yeah, and then she finally falls asleep.
For sure. As all that was happening. So it's like, he's beginning. He was going to be like, I'm just going to cast sleep spell. I'm just going to cast it. Casting it. Okay, she's asleep. All right, fine. Oh, my God. And I turn around and leave the room. And I close the door. And I go, I'm not doing any of that.
She is very trusting for a woman living out in the woods on her own.
It's too trusting. I mean, let's be honest. She's getting what she deserves here. And I start like filling my pockets with shit.
Don't take her stuff.
That, you know what? It was a reaction. I'm sorry. It was a reaction. That's right. We're trying not to. That's okay. Is he in bed? Is he up there?
Yes, I left him upstairs.
All right. Well, whoever this Joffrey is either isn't coming back or this is going to be like the perfect opportunity for him to come back. So why don't you take some, or do you get some rest too? Let's see if we can get a nice short or long rest out of this whole deal here.
Well, maybe... he like looks around, like I'm assuming it's not a super big cabin, right? A handful of rooms, but then upstairs. The cabin seems fairly defensible. He looks at the couch. He says, if you want the couch, I can, I could curl up in front of the fireplace. We could prop the chair under the door.
Tons of locks. She's got like 7 locks on this door.
We lock all the locks. Should be fine. I mean, as long as she's not, a shapeshifter, a monster. As long as she is an old lady, we should be fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think we should maybe. I don't know. I still think a watch would be good. And I'll, just in case this Joffrey comes back, I'd rather not have all of us just passed out.
It probably makes sense. Do you have an alarm or I don't have any. And like he puts his hands out, and like whoop, the book comes out and he like flips through the pages. He's like, I don't. Let me see. Light is not going to help. That's Tentacles of the Great Old One. No, we don't want that.
That is a book of nightmares you're reading from. It is.
Yeah, I don't have nightmares. Yeah, anything that's really appropriate to the situation. And he's like closes the book and like back into yeah.
Neither do I.
Okay. Yes. Well,
just curl up by the fire, and I'll do some snooping.
Give me like an hour and a half. Like normally a sleep cycle is maybe about 90 minutes. So if I get one good cycle in, we can maybe switch back and forth.
For sure. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And like he stretches, he takes the backpack off or whatever bullshit they have, stretches ass up, tail out, kind of like walks in a little circle in front of the fireplace and, curls up with his chin on his little paws, wraps his tail around everything.
Well, good, good. That's very good. And just a cat sleeping by the fire who's going to end the world. Everything's fine. Something? Nothing. Everything's fine. I'm just snooping.
and then like his one eye closes, but then kind of opens.
It kind of opens back up. Again. Yeah.
And then my whiskers start to twitch.
They twitch. Yep. It's all fine. So when he falls asleep, I start snooping around. See if what other information I can get. Like, is there a basement?
No. There is. Depend upon where you're at. Upstairs, there's only the one bedroom.
Down there, passed out.
Mm-hmm. Downstairs, there is Genevieve's quarters. There is a small kitchen, and then there's a living quarters, and that is it.
Okay. All right. I take a look at the kitchen, and we'll see what kind of a state it's in. You said there was like dishes all over the place.
Yeah. Yep. You can tell that there's like. The only things that you can find are like days old breads, maybe a little coffee pot, and not much else. Maybe a couple of vegetables that maybe she picked out of the front yard and just kind of ate the tiniest radish. So not a lot of means.
Yeah, truly nothing of value. Yeah. I just kind of like kick around the space and see if they can find anything else interesting. And if there's nothing else interesting, I'll just wait my turn to sleep. Because I don't feel whole without any of my second level spells.
Okay.
You look over and I'm twitching. My little paws are moving. My cheeks and my whiskers are just kind of like moving. The tail's kind of like absolutely. Not like full swishing, but just like kind of like end of the tail twitch.
Yep. All the little twitches. I make sure the doors are locked, and then like I would give like a look outside the windows too, before you're just kind of just being on watch, it's what you do when you're on watch.
Yeah, for sure. Roll me a perception check.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
I already failed the trap roll. 9 plus it's 11.
Okay.
Getting better.
It's better than the last one for sure.
Yeah. Nothing happens. You don't see anything outside. You kind of wonder about, should I put the bear trap back up? You don't know for sure, but you're like, well, as long as the doors are locked, everything should be fine.
Yeah, I locked the door. I don't think to reset the bear trap. I'm not resetting her bear trap.
Nice. Okay. Let's go to Black Claws. So Black Claws, you fall into a deep sleep, and as you do, you hear the familiar sound of waves swaying back and forth in your mind.
The gentle lapping against the dark
exactly,
shore.
Exactly. What you think might be sand swaying left and right as well.
I hate the way it feels on my paws.
Yeah. other than that, how does it make you feel?
I think I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because we're running. I'm tired. There's this strange old lady who just inexplicably led us at her cabin, and he wakes up in a somewhat familiar space, familiar but like maybe not dread. It's not the right word, right? But like,
mm-hmm.
it's not welcome.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's a thing. It's happened before. He's been here before. I think like he wakes up or wakes up, conscious of the space, like as if he woke up and is like first confused. Right. He hears the water and wakes up and then is like immediately on guard. Right. Like, uh-oh, this isn't where I fell asleep at. what's going on? So he looks, he looks around to see, if he can see anything, what's around me. Is it the same place? Like, would I even recognize that? Or is it just like endless shore to the left and to the right? Right. Like that's like normally what I see. So like, there's no sense of like, oh, this is the same space. Or though it might feel like the same space, like there's no way to know it, but you also like know that this is the space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great that you said that, because that's exactly how you feel. It feels familiar and yet not as well. You know, you feel eerily at home a little bit, but also heightened anxiety at its highest. And you do the same thing that you did the first time you were in this space. You look around and all you see for miles and miles and miles is dark. Surprisingly, there's a little bit of light on the top of the waves where you can see how they sway and how they move and flow. And mm-hmm. It's almost like when you look at them, it's almost like someone waving arms at you like, come with us, come with us. Mm-hmm. But it also, it goes from side to side, and it also looks like tentacles going left and right and out and back. And it's very confusing. You're like, why am I always pulled to this place?
Right.
And you hear a voice echo in your mind, say, I don't like the way I said that. Sorry. Give me a second.
Yeah, no, you're good.
You hear a voice say, "You're starting to awake. I'm surprised by how far you've come."
Do I see the person? Like, my ears twitch and then, focus in on the, where the sound was coming from the turn.
Yeah. So, you feel like it's like, kind of like to the northwest, and you turn and nothing is there. And then it kind of reverberates, and you're like, okay, it sounds like it's coming from that way. And you turn your head and you can't quite make out where this voice is coming from.
I do something dumb. I walk forward into the lapping waves. It's really like, 'cause I'm on the beach, right? So like the waves are gently rolling in, like 2 feet in front of me, very mm-hmm. like low, almost like if it's Holly, a lake, So you have that movement, but it's not like a wave crash, right? There's no crashing. It's more of a lapping. So I walk down into the water, to the surf, and I look down at these what appear to be tentacles and kind of bend down and touch one.
Okay.
If there's actually a tentacle there, right? Like I'm assuming like in my head canon, it's like Cthulhu in the water. And it's like all of the tentacles, the way that you described it, sort of just undulating and, you know, rippling in the water. Mm-hmm. So like that's like in my head canon. So like he walks down into the surf to touch that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's perfect because that's what I have in my head as well. So, you know, it kind of like it's again.
I'm inside you, bro.
Okay, that's a different kind of thing. We need to talk about that later. But it you start kind of walking and it's like when a parent holds a child's hand. It's like when someone falls down and gets hurt and somebody goes to pick you up. It feels right, but also in the back of your head, you're like, something is wrong. And you touch something that feels like it's water, but also feels like it's tangible. And it pulls you, it leads you into the water, kind of like if a parent was grabbing a child by the hand and saying, come swim with me. And you're enveloped in this water and it pulls you deeper and deeper until you are until the water is above you and you are floating in this water, and it feels like you're floating in water, but it also feels like you're being enveloped by something solid, and lack of a better term, it's 50% adulation and 50% terror, and you don't quite know what to make of what is happening.
And can we also get when the contact is made, right? It's almost like that pull back and spiral of like just cosmic vistas and like unnatural angles and cyclopean ruins of undersea city. Like it's just this kaleidoscope of all of these different things as he's being not pulled necessarily, but drawn under the water.
And as you're stuck under there too, and you're underneath this water, it looks like if someone took a globe full of stars and spun it, and all you can see is all these stars that are just kind of, you know, left and right, and you feel like you should know what the stars mean and where they belong, but in your world the stars are not what these stars are, and you look at your chest and you kind of stare at the stars and they start to swirl and move, just kind of like the stars around you move, and they swirl around you and make a different pattern than what you're used to, and it's almost like listening to a clock dial click as and the stars on your chest are completely aligned differently and lay in a certain way that you are unfamiliar with, but feel like what has happened is right.
Mm-hmm. Like this is these are the stars in his realm that are coming. Mm-hmm. So none of it looks the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. And you are kind of stuck in this pattern, and you don't really know how to get out of it. So I want Black Claws to react to what is happening.
I think like he's like lulled into it, right? Like an embrace, right? Like he makes that contact and like, you know, all this stuff is happening and he's being, you know, drawn into this, right? Because he was chosen for this, I guess. So it's not so much that he's going with it as much as it's almost like being entranced, ensorcelled, if you will, by this experience, because it's horrific and terrifying, but also like familiar, I guess, right? Like there's been that contact made and he's been marked. So there's that aspect of it. I think he says, or I guess thinks, right? Because he's underwater. Has the time come?
And you feel like something, you're confused on whether you're going to get a response or not, because now you are pulled under these waves and you're not, your ears are not used to hearing underwater, like how voices are meant to be heard above water. And you hear clear as day, you hear almost a booming voice say, "I am coming soon."
I don't know what he says to that. I think he says, "What of the Yellow King? He has plans in motion, wheels within wheels."
And you hear the voice respond to you, you need not worry about the Pretender King. He will be destroyed.
I think he takes, like, I think he's kind of like he's trying to come to grips, right? So like he's like, it's still horrific and whatever, but also like, oh, so like, okay, we're having a thing here. And I think he comes to himself a little bit and says, what of Eric the Guileful? I mean, I don't even know that he would know who that is, right? But like, I'm looking, is there a sense that ticks something, right? Right. Because if yeah. Cthulhu comes and ends the world, it doesn't really matter what Mr. Dr. Beguiler does, because like it's all over. But if he's involved, right, then that's a different issue.
Yeah, yeah. You hear the voice respond to you, "Worry not the ants on the ground. Worry about the stars in the sky." And you are lifted from your position under this water, and you are shot out of the water into the sky. It looks like you are going straight up into the stars, and you are flying as fast as possible, and you wake up. All right, I'm going to flip it back to Soot. Soot, as you are sitting around just kind of taking stock of what's going on, letting Black Claw sleep, you feel a moment of dread in the back of your neck, and you feel your body pulsate, and the stars on your chest begin to move.
No.
Without your say-so, and they start to rip your skin and pull in 80 different directions and puzzle themselves in certain ways, and just making it look like it's tearing you apart limb by limb.
Damn,
and they restructure themselves into a different pattern, and the pain is so excruciating that you pass out, and we'll call it there.
Perfect. Great. I love all of it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Poor Sud, his body just keeps getting shredded every time, and not in a good way.
I love it and hate it. So it's like the stars moved, but as they were moving, they were basically like ripping me apart. Is that correct? In order for them to move to their new locations. Great.
Oh yeah. Ow, yeah. Just skin ripping apart from your body and just moving everything.
Just want to make sure I write the note properly.
Yep.
Oh man. Just
a horrific way for that to happen to you.
rearrange themselves. Now, not that Soot would know this, but is that connected to what was going on in the dream world right there? Like what he was doing, and it was just kind of changing what was going on with me.
That's what you could assume, yeah.
I don't think Soot would assume that. I'm just asking for me. Like,
Yeah.
I don't play meta, but I was just curious. Like that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. He's fucking around in his dream world, and I'm getting ripped apart.
Yep, everything welcome. Has consequences, and it might not just be for the person that's actually or the character that's doing it. So
that's fine. I love it. I did stab myself. I am the innocent sacrifice in this mess. I get it.
Well, can you be the innocent sacrifice if you stabbed yourself? You stabbed yourself with intention.
I did. It was a natural one though. So like I liked it. It was like yes, I will stab myself. This is the correct
That's
thing
true.
To do.
That's true. Yeah.
And then I regretted immediately and it's after I did it.
And it's a demon dagger that's meant to sacrifice things, so it's evil.
Yeah.
It might have a mind of its own.
Damn it!
I should have stabbed Cthulhu with the dagger.
Yeah,
that would have fixed it.
That would have fixed everything.
Game over.
Let him fuck around with a demon in the handle for a while.
No shit.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Just great. Just more pain.
It was good. Yep. I dig it. I dig that whole Holly thing.
It's very cool. Ugh. I wonder what's going on in Jorfin's dreams. Is he even alive anymore?
Yeah, oh, Jorfin's probably having dreams about Saren being shot in the chest and being like, oh, we used to be good friends and now you betrayed us because you suck.
You're welcome, Jorfin.
He's sweating and crying and tossing and turning.
Yeah, he's like a little dog that has one of those dreams like,
yes. Yeah. Shit's going haywire in this cabin. Hopefully this woman isn't like a, you know, she could totally steal everything from us.
Damn it. I don't think that the thing with Saren hit Blacklaw's as hard because he hasn't been around.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like they were all friends.
Mm-hmm.
But you know. Jorfin was in love with her, even if she didn't know it or played it off or use it to her advantage or whatever. But like, I haven't been around. So like, that sucks. And she's a bitch for doing that. But also it's not, you know, like there's bigger problems at the moment. Like that sucks that she's not an ally, but you know. Yeah.
Yep. That's small potatoes now.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Good times.
So
you'll wake up.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, when I'm running D&D, you don't have to worry about me with kid gloves, because I'll rip your character to shreds if I have to, which I am doing.
Yeah, you're going to wake up and it's going to be in a pile of blood on the floor.
Yep, and then Black Claws has to deal with what happened with that now.
Oh, yeah. Going to be very upset. very passive aggressive.
Well, so I wonder, and I guess we'll find out next time, because obviously, you know, Blacklaws would recognize it, right? Like, if you're all bloody from being ripped apart, right, I would obviously look to see, make sure the old lady didn't turn into a monster and kill you or whatever. Whether or not the stars on your chest now are the stars of the King in Yellow, right? If they look like Jorfin stars now.
Might they?
They might. It could be that they rearrange because now things are closer.
Does that mean I'm on team stars are wrong?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I at least want to be on the stars are right gang.
Look, I can put in a word for you. I know.
Yeah, why don't you put in a word for me? Next time you feel like going off into Holly and fucking around with the stars, get me back on team the stars are right. When you're through playing your little stars are wrong or right fantasy league.
Look, I'll get the strike dagger. We'll cut them off and we'll put them back.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
No, this isn't right at all. You wake up and I'm just cutting everything off.
A truly horrific experience. We are now in the Cthulhu game. We've transitioned the old
lady's got knitting needles. She's like, I can help you sew yourself together.
Oh God. Yep, that would be it.
And it's not thread, it's like gut.
Yeah. Gut. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And then Joffrey comes home and it's Pinhead from the movie Pinhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Hellraiser.
Yep. What's Frankenstein's monster doing in my bed?
Oh no, the old lady is Nyarlathotep.
Oh God. A new set of stars.
Damn it. Now I have to change what I wrote.
John, stop introducing more Cthulhu shit. I like it. We'll just switch over to Cthulhu. It's fine. It works out.
Hey, look, if he's in his Black Pharaoh persona, like, we've got an in. I'm a cat. If he's an Egyptian pharaoh guy, like, they like cats, we're good. Like, we're good. Yeah. It's fine.
Hey, you're worshipped.
It's awesome.
Oh, good stuff.
Love it. Indeed.